This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're with Sammy on Joy 94.9, and I'm talking to Stephan Elliott, writer and director of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, about the new reality show he's involved in, I Will Survive. Hello, Stephan.
Hello. Well, I Will Survive. You know what? I'm still surviving. I can't believe it.
Now, this is a reality TV show. It's going to be unlike any other we've seen on Australian TV. Let us know a little bit about it.
Well, since the inception of the film, which I hate to put this at you, is I wrote that script 22 years ago. It's a little scary now. She turns 20 this year. There's been so many incarnations of, incarnations of the animals since the original film. It took me a long time to get to the stage show. I really thought we had to wait till it had vintaged a bit, and I think that was the right decision. There was a television show that I actually wrote quite a few eps of and then bailed out of. It's just the timing of this one was absolutely right. The show, the stage show is doing really well worldwide, and somebody approached me with a reality television show concept, which was good. But then once I started getting into it, I kind of said, you know what, guys, I don't want to do standard reality television. The film broke so many rules. I think we have to break the reality TV rule book. And I said, well, we have to do stuff that's never been done or tried before. And much to my surprise, Network 10 said yes. So in a nutshell, what we're doing is we're looking for the next big triple threat. Those are people that I've encountered since I've been doing the stage show, which are boys or girls who could sing, act, and dance. Now, a lot of these shows, you know, you're a good cook, you're a good singer, you can build a house, but you can't do anything else. These people have to actually be able to do three things very, very well. So immediately the pool shrunk. And instead of doing these wide-open auditions, we went for 12 very, very experienced people. So we're setting the bar very, very high. We took those 12 boys then right around Australia, making them do terrific challenges in acting, singing, and dancing. But the really fun part is we've been making them do drag.
Awesome. Now, they've been travelling around Australia on a bus. Just like in the
movie. We've got a bus. We rebuilt the old girl, Priscilla. We found the original and she was a bit dead. So we've rebuilt a new one and we put them all on this big Priscilla bus and we did the same journey as the film 20 years on, starting in Sydney all the way to Alice and back again. But the fun part starts very shortly because then the next part, of course, is with our remaining contestants in Sydney, we then take them on to America and take them across America by bus.
Wow. And while they're in Australia and they're doing the tour, they're going to be visiting, of course, as you said, all the destinations that we saw in the movie, things like Dubbo, Cobar, Broken Hill, of course, Cooper Petey as well. So are you going to be doing, have different things for them to do in each town?
Every town, yeah. Absolutely every town we do something that's just a little madder than the week before. I mean, my favourite to date is that we've done one, basically, I'm not going to say which town, but we decided to have a drag horse race at the local races, which was a big day. There's about 500 or 600 people there. And we put the boys all as girls in the starting box and did a drag race.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait to see that.
One of them went down. It was very sad. Jason Donovan, who's my co-judge, went out with a water pistol and shot the drag queen. It was very sad.
So every week there will be a different elimination as you reduce down the amount of people in the competition?
Yeah, now every week we have to throw one off, which is proving incredibly difficult because, you know, with a lot of these shows, you've got a lot of punters, people have just come in off the streets. These boys are already trained, so the level of expertise is really scary. And as we get further and further towards the end, I know it's going to be a total nightmare because they're all really good.
So, of course, the show's being hosted by Hugh Sheridan, and yourself and Jason Donovan are the main judges, mentors on that. But you're also going to have a variety of guest judges as well.
Yeah, no, we made a decision with our third judging seat was empty, and I was very adamant about getting a girl on board. I thought we need to get a bit of girl magic in there to knock the boys into shape. And it was a grand idea somebody came up with. They said, why don't we change that seat every week? Why don't we have a different female judge come in with a fresh perspective, hasn't seen the baggage, and gets to judge on exactly what they're seeing at that moment. And that's been absolutely amazing. I mean, we've had Rachel Taylor, Toni Collette, Magda, Rachel Griffith, Asher. The lineup's absolutely been extraordinary. And it's good because Jason and I have a tendency to basically start fighting with each other, and then the girls get to slap us around, which is great TV.
So Jason has obviously forgiven you for the fact that he originally was considered for the role of Adam / Felicia that Guy eventually got.
He's never forgiven me. He's never forgiven himself. And I trust me, on television, I remind him about it twice a week. But yes, he did. He was doing the role of Felicia, and about a week before shoot, he suddenly bailed. Said, I can't do it, I can't do it. He was in a lot of trouble in the UK at the time because, famously, he sued the Face magazine, had outed him. And Jason actually didn't mind. He actually thought the whole thing was funny, but he's not gay. So he's actually, a lot of people got on board and said, no, you've got to correct that one. And he did. And he just suddenly thought that the timing was what, and he was very guilty about doing it as well. He just thought the timing would be quite contradictory. And, of course, the rest was history. Guy Pearce stepped into the role and here's Jason and I arguing like old women 20 years later.
Now, the lucky contestant at the end of this is going to get a phenomenal prize package, including a cash prize of $250,000. And, of course, the ultimate thing was they will actually be starring in the Broadway production of Priscilla.
Actually, the prize actually will be the end. We're not saying what the prize is at the end. It's going to be pretty big now. It's evolving.
Wow.
Let me put it this way. Whoever is going to get this prize at the end will be living very comfortably in the US for quite some time with a job, an agent, and a manager.
Fantastic. So the role that they will actually be getting is the role of Titch, is it, that Hugo was playing?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Now, on to, so Priscilla has been around for quite a while. It first aired in 1994, and as you said, it was nearly 20 years ago that you first wrote the script for that.
Well, I wrote the script in 92, 93. So, yeah, since putting pen to paper, it's almost 20 years.
Do you look back on it sometimes with a little bit of awe on how big an impact that it's had?
Well, it's awe now, but at the time, actually, it was driving me mad because, you know, we didn't really set out to change the world. We just set out to have a fun time and make a great movie. I didn't realise the impact that the film would have globally and what it did. I mean, none of us saw that one coming. And I'm not going to lie, probably 5 or 6 years later, I was finding it really quite tiresome because no matter what I do, it just isn't Priscilla. And it's still the case. People look at me and say, look, it's just not Priscilla. Very famously, I was getting quite angry with it for a couple of years there. And then Richard O'Brien, who wrote the Rocky Horror Show, I was having a drink with him one night and he slapped me across the face and he said, would you start seeing the gift that you've got here? A lot of directors out there in the world who have made very successful films, but they don't have one of these films. These films are so rare. And he said, you're damn lucky. And at that point, I started rethinking it. And by the time the show went forward and I saw 2,000 people dancing in their seats to I Will Survive in a packed theatre in London, I thought, you know what? This is pretty good.
The fantastic thing, of course, also too, for the GLBTI community is it opened up a lot of our world to the broader community of, you know, we're exactly the same as everybody else, and this is just another section of our community and us getting out there and having a good time.
Yeah, the message was simple. I mean, the thing that what worked about the message is that it's in the film, but it's not shoved down your throat. I was very, very, very adamant on that one. I really wanted to be careful with it. I just didn't want to be... There's a subtle way of getting the message across. I find a lot of gay and lesbian issues, when they're forced down your throat, they're not... people tend to back off. So I made something that was very subtle. And, you know, famously, if you look at the side of what was painted on the side of the bus in the film, I mean, it was pretty harsh.
Wow.
I never went back there again. I said, this is how it is. And then said, right, now we move along. We've left that in your head. And I think because I didn't shove it down people's throats is why it reached such a broad audience. And, of course, that was the better thing to do because it really, on a global scale, was as open for the gay and lesbian community. It's just extraordinary what it did. And I still have people to this day, you know, parents still say, I didn't understand my gay kids, until I saw that movie. And it gave me the strength to love them again. I mean, I still get letters like that now, which is pretty amazing.
One other project that you were involved in was, of course, something that ended up being a cult underground classic and actually one of my favourite movies, which was Welcome to Whoop Whoop, something that wasn't that well received. But I can tell you right now, I thought it was awesome.
The fun part about that film is it's finding such a life now.
Yeah.
And not just cult underground, it's growing outside of that now. As more people discover it down the line, it's finding its life. And very famously, somebody walked up to me and said, do you know that this is Tom Ford's favourite film? when I contacted him, he said, yeah, it's my favourite film. I make people sit down and watch it. And I met RuPaul. RuPaul said, I'm a big fan of your work. And I said, what, Priscilla? And he said, no, Walk Walk. So it's a weird one, that one. I think the timing of that film was just awful. I mean, the joke was, you know, One Australia. It really was laughing at Pauline Hanson.
Yes,
who was very, very powerful at that time. And she, of course, came out publicly and said, I love this movie. That's when I realised the joke was going a bit wrong.
Well, yes. Now, also, too, released this year on Australia Day was A Few Best Men, which you directed, and it was starring our darling Olivia Newton-John. Was she just a pleasure to work with?
Everything you think Olivia is, she is. She is just one of the finest human beings I've ever met in my entire life, and she's been through such amazing hardships, but she's just got this incredible ability of just getting up, dusting herself off on, and says, right, we've got to move on. She's so strong and so absolutely giving, caring, and sharing. And, you know, just, and part of the fun of that was playing with that image. In the film, I made her do terrible things, dreadful things that Olivia would never do. And there was once or twice in the film she was almost in tears saying, oh, my God, I'll never work again. I said, I know, isn't it fun?
Now, what's next?
And she did actually, the ability to let go, which is because she's, you know, she's become such an icon as a state. I actually got to play with that image of being, and I, you know, of playing with her iconic image. And she got to act again, which I don't think she's done in a very long time, and she loved it. She was actually not playing Olivia. She was playing someone else, and she absolutely loved it.
Fantastic. Now, what's next for you? Of course, you know, you've got the I Will Survive, and then you've got some other, have you got any other movies in the pipeworks?
I have so much in the pipework at the moment. It's scary. The fun part is I'm just looking at this. I'm just going to get through this one, which will be over in about a month. And then after that one, I've got three or four scripts written. And I will pick a script after that. But the way the world's going at the moment, I'm kind of a very much freewheeling soul at the moment. I'll go where the wind blows me. I'm having a terrific time. And, hey, we're all going to get hit by a bus tomorrow.
Well, listen, I would like to thank you for joining us here on Joy 94.9. We really look forward with bated breath to the series I Will Survive, which will be airing on Channel 10.
Okay, looking forward to it. See you on Channel 10.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.